let's jump right into our podcast. As a matter of providing some background for our listener, give me a brief description of the current situation that Peggy is in right now. Where, what, and how?
My mom is in the memory care unit at Integrated Care, and she's declining very fast, extremely fast. And right now, her current situation is her memory is very selective. She doesn't remember how many times she's been married or her husband. But when you start talking to her and relate anecdotal information, oh, I remember him. Mm-hmm. I remember that. So her memory is there a little bit when she's prompted. But 2 years ago, she seemed perfectly fine.
Okay. Good point of reference. Let's go back a few years ago now. What, going back, was the first indicator that you needed to consider something other than just she's home?
Yeah, Philip, our journey has been it was overnight. It was overnight, and I was so totally unprepared for it. My mom was living independently in Sun City, Arizona. She and my dad had lived there 20 years, and he passed away about 7 years ago of pancreatic cancer. And my mom continued to live in the home, and we would talk. I have a sister who lives in Albuquerque, and when we would talk with Mother, we noticed a little bit of confusion, and it got to the point where she was having a lot of difficulty remembering her medicine schedule. She has, you know, my mom's 91. She just had a birthday, and she was on blood pressure medicine. She's had bypass surgery and medical things. Mm-hmm. And so she was on a lot of medicine, and so she wouldn't remember whether she took her medicine or not. And so she'd call the pharmacy, or she would call poison control because she thought she had overdosed. Mm-hmm. And so it started getting worse. And then the interesting thing is her sister, who was 5 years older than she was, had Alzheimer's. And we moved her into an Alzheimer's facility. And my mom took care of her. And she took care of all her finances and paid all her bills and went over to see her. And that was 2 years ago this month.
Wow.
And after passed away, my mom started to decline. And that's when we started noticing the symptoms progressing that I told you about. Mm-hmm. And when I finally went over for my aunt's funeral and to help my mom make arrangements for it, it was obvious my mom couldn't live alone anymore.
Mm-hmm. Okay, understood. Was there one particular incident where you said, oh my gosh, we've got to do something now, not tomorrow, but today?
No, it was the 2 weeks I spent with her.
That was it. It was just
We didn't think she was as bad off as she was, so we moved her into a beautiful independent living facility in Sun City. You purchase your condo, but they're designed to let the person age in place. And so my mother barely lived there a year before she couldn't be alone at all. I had to have 24-hour care for her because she would wander off. She went from being okay with a nurse to visit to give her her meds in a year to where she couldn't live alone.
Now, you mentioned that she lived alone. So when you made the decision to move to an independent living, not that big of a deal at that time because you figure, oh, she's lived alone. She's just going to go to another nice place to live alone.
Right. It was like living in a country club. They had a concierge, and they really had the services, and they were a wonderful facility. Uh-huh. My mom declined so rapidly, and it was obvious that she was going to need 24-hour care. And the deciding incident, my mom is prone to falls. Mm. So she fell and hit her head for about the third time while she lived there. And it was terrible. And she was in the hospital 2 weeks, didn't remember me at all, and then had to go to rehab. And that's when I started talking to my sister and saying, we have to do something. If this is going to continue to happen, she has to be close to one of us. My sister's a cancer survivor, and her prognosis is not good, so I could not do that to her.
Sure.
So I just decided one day.
Okay, so you had some experience with independent living in the long-term care industry.
A little bit.
So then she has this major fall and rehabilitation period. What did you start to think about then? Were you thinking about home health care, bringing somebody in? Did you immediately think about assisted living?
All of the above.
All of the above. Tell me about that.
You think all of the above, and mm-hmm. then you immediately start analyzing your mom's finances. I've been paying her bills for about a year, mm-hmm. and I pretty well knew what she had, but we had to start preparing for long-term care, mm-hmm. and only so much of it was liquid. Mm-hmm. And so my sister and I had to sit down and kind of, I'm a baby boomer. We're baby boomers. I'm at the very beginning of the baby boom generation. Mm-hmm. I was born in 47. Mm-hmm. And so most of the baby boomers are coming after me. There's going to be a huge influx of elderly people, my parents, mm-hmm. huge. Mm-hmm. And this is just the trickle. Mm-hmm. And we had visited facilities in Arizona. They in Sun City, you would think they would be magnificent because mm-hmm. it's a retirement community, and they weren't. Mm-hmm. I mean, they just weren't. And they were about $4,500, $5,000 a month for memory mm-hmm. care. Mm-hmm. And plastic tablecloths and people walking around in their pajamas all the time. It just felt very institutional. Mm-hmm. That's a good word for it.
Okay.
So we had done that work a year or so prior.
You did your research on
that
part.
Yes, I did.
Okay.
And my mom had gone with me, actually.
Okay.
But refused memory care. My mom's very difficult uh-huh. to handle.
Okay.
And so... So anyway,
not an uncommon phrase, by the way.
My mom has always been difficult to handle, but mm-hmm. now what I'm finding with dementia is all of the things that were wrong before are exaggerated now.
That's a golden nugget right there.
Yeah,
okay.
It is.
All right. Okay. Okay. So you kind of started this research process, and you even went to go look at a few places. How were you finding out about them? Were you going online? Were you receiving ads in the mail? Just the telephone book at that time.
I went online. Uh-huh. You know, they have places online that evaluate these kinds of facilities. And mm-hmm. But I was in a pretty restricted neighborhood. And uh-huh. so what I did was I looked for facilities that were in the area.
Okay.
And so we just, because my goal was to find something she liked.
So without necessarily any professional guidance, you just decided, well, it's going to have to be assisted living memory care or something in that range, and I'm going to go out
and put a list together. I depended on people in your position uh-huh. to educate me.
Understood.
And boy, did I get an education. There's all sorts of things mm-hmm. out there. Mm-hmm. There are things where you have to buy in mm-hmm. hundreds of thousands of dollars, and then there's a monthly after mm-hmm. that, and you don't get all of it back mm-hmm. when your loved one passes, mm-hmm. Which stands to reason because they're taking care of them. Mm-hmm. There's that, and then there's just the straight, you know, month to month kind of a thing. There's memory care, there's assisted living, there's independent living. What's the difference?
And right.
Yeah.
And so you basically had to just bring yourself up to speed just on your own with no guidance, no professional help. So each place you went to, you learned a little more and
yes.
a little more and a little more until you find yourself here now.
Right.
Okay.
Yes. I had one intermediate step.
Uh-huh. Okay.
I didn't initially move her here when I moved her. Uh-huh. I moved her to another facility. It was brand new. Uh-huh. It was a little bit closer. I live about 2 miles from where mom lives. And this was maybe a mile. Mm-hmm. It was brand new. I thought, how could I go wrong with brand new? Mm-hmm. And so I toured. They had a cafe. They, you know, I got the whole nine yards. Mm-hmm. Everything. And I thought, this is great. I love it. It's perfect. And so I put her in there. And 6 months later, it was horrible. Horrible. Mm-hmm. She got scabies in the end. Mm-hmm. Which I don't know if you know what it is, but it's common yeah. to these kinds of medical yep. facilities, and it's transmitted through touch. Mm-hmm. And they're little bitty worms mm-hmm. that crawl around under your skin. And mom's went undiagnosed for 6 weeks. Wow. And I finally said, that's it. So mm-hmm. I pulled her out. I came over here because my grandkids went to the preschool.
Oh, wonderful. Just as a point of reference to our listeners, we operate a 120-occupant child daycare center directly adjacent to our assisted living and memory care facility. So it's about 400 feet away, yards away, I would guess, from each other. So that's what Donna is referring to.
Yes, and I remembered how wonderful it was because my grandchildren would come over here once a week. They'd walk over and interact with the people who lived here. Mm-hmm. And I thought, and you were still very close. You were even closer to the hospital. Mm-hmm. And my gosh, my mom was a fall risk. Mm-hmm. And she's had 3 or 4 falls, and she's been here since June. Mm-hmm. So, and it's not because the care isn't marvelous. It's because my mother won't do what she's told.
Right, and, yeah. It's getting harder and harder.
Yes, it is.
Okay. So you didn't necessarily have like 10 choices you were looking at. You said, no. Here's the one I'm going, and then you kind of...
Well,
and
there
then
are over 10 to us. Choices around
right.
us.
You weren't interested in going to Riverside. No. You weren't interested in going outside of this area.
No, we have to realize, I had to realize my life was going to change.
Uh-huh.
And I wanted to make it as easy on myself as I could. So it had to be close.
Okay. So let me recap a little bit here. So rapid decline due to dementia, due to Alzheimer's more specifically, you're able to, you kind of bring yourself up to speed as quickly as you can about the industry with regard to memory care, assisted living, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
You know you've got to do something. You kind of have worked out the finances at this point. You know what your budget is. So you're coming in. Tell me how you felt when you first had to place her in that first facility, right? So we're leaving the independent living now and you're making that first placement. How did you feel at that time?
Oh my gosh. I felt guilty. I felt relieved because for the longest time I'd been trying to manage her behavior and her condition long distance. And it was a very expensive process, long distance.
Uh-huh.
My mother was, and I found in talking to other people who have loved ones there, this is a rather common experience. My mother didn't want to be there. She was just kind of, you know, on the edge. Right. In fact, I had arranged for her to go into assisted living, and then when she got evaluated, she became belligerent because she really didn't want to go, and it was obvious she needed to be somewhere where she was locked in.
Right.
And the interesting thing is, and I don't know how many other people will experience this, but I'm going to put it on the table. My mother has always wanted to be close to her family. At the end, she's been very vocal about it.
Mm-hmm.
And we've all moved away. And now my dad has passed away. And so my mother was getting more and more and more vocal. And to some degree, I think she used the fact that she was in the hospital as a way. Look, she never said, I need to be near you, because she wasn't that cognizant. It was always, I don't want to be alone. I want to be close to my children.
Mm-hmm.
And so once I got her over here, she seemed to get a little better.
Mm-hmm.
And so I wondered if she really belonged here. But no, she does. You go through this guilt process.
Mm-hmm.
Am I doing the right thing? Does mother really belong in this population? She doesn't have a car anymore. She can't drive. You know,
how did you handle it when she had this extreme reaction of, I don't want to be here? What did you do? How did you handle it?
Very badly. One of the things that the staff mm-hmm. over in her little casita
mm-hmm.
are helping me with is how to manage her, how to deal with her behavior, because it's not normal. This isn't the mother that I grew up with, even though my mother was difficult. She will call me 3 or 4 times at night. Well, twice, because that's the limit. Mm-hmm. She'll call me twice at night and tell me I want to go home, you know, just kind of being her thoughts aren't rational. Mm-hmm. And she'll forget she said that to me, and then she'll call me back 5 minutes later and leave me another message. Mm-hmm. And so the staff is helping. It makes me angry sometimes. Mm-hmm. I feel infringed upon. Mm-hmm. I feel I'm doing the best I can, and I still work. Mm-hmm. I'm in my 60s, and I still work. Mm-hmm. And I have two grandkids that live down the street the other way, and my granddaughter. I have a really busy life, and she'll call me and say, you haven't been here in months, mm-hmm. but yet I know I was there 3 days ago. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's difficult. And so they're kind of giving me pointers, like, just agree with her. Don't argue with her, mm-hmm. and say, well, I was just here. She's not going to remember. Mm-hmm. And then the other thing that I've leaned on are a family of other people who live over there. And knowing that they've had the same experience, mm-hmm. makes it a lot better. Mm-hmm. It really does.
How long would you say it took for your mother to start to, you know, obviously she was at the point of extreme distress and aversion to coming into our facility. How many weeks, months, days did it take for her to, for you to notice that, hey, maybe it's not quite, you know, maybe she doesn't feel as quite as bad as she initially thought?
A couple of days. Uh-huh. She still hates being there, right. And she still, okay. wants to move, but it's not the facility. Mm-hmm. She'll say, oh, I have great food and I love so-and-so. She's, mm-hmm. my best friend, but I don't want to live here anymore. Mm-hmm. I want to come live with you. See, so that's not why she, okay. wants.
Well, let me build upon that question. How long did it take for you to feel
I'm
like
still working
maybe,
on it.
Okay, so you're still working on it. And we're going how long?
6 months.
6 months into it. So you're still working through it.
Yeah.
Never gets any easier.
No.
As far as you're concerned. And she is, you know, she's still kind of doing the same thing she's doing from when she first started with us. Okay, yeah. Understood.
Yeah.
All right, let me ask you this question. Before you actually took her into a actual assisted living memory care setting, what did you expect, right? Not knowing anything, what did you actually think was supposed to happen? What were your expectations before actually finding out the reality?
When I first started looking into, I thought it was kind of like a one-stop shop. Mm-hmm. I thought that, you go in, they tell you how much it costs, you move in, and that's what you pay every month. Mm-hmm. And it's not true. You know, my mom gets very individualized care, and that costs money. Mm-hmm. And so she's not as dependent as some of the other people. Mm-hmm. She will be one day, but so it makes sense now that I've looked into it that they're different tiers, mm-hmm. depending on how much time one of the staff is going to have to spend with your loved one. Okay. And I didn't realize that, and that's important when you're planning the finances. And mm-hmm. and
how about with regard to the care? Did you think it was going to be like hotel style concierge service, and then you kind of got something completely different, or
oh, that's a really good question, because I kind of was, uh-huh. because that's how she was living in Arizona,
the independent living. Yes.
Yeah, they had a limousine and took her to the doctor. And uh-huh. now I have to tell you, Philip, that's what I expected when I moved her into the first facility, because uh-huh. they advertised a lot of those things. Uh-huh. And but when I made the choice to move her to integrated care, it was a very different experience. When I walked in, you know, Debbie is just like a family member now. Mm-hmm. And the place felt very home-like. And I loved walking into the casita and that you make the dinner right there, the meals. I'll walk in and it smells like breakfast, or somebody's cooking dinner. It's just the most wonderful thing. And I got what I wanted. I didn't the first time, but mm-hmm. I wanted somebody who would take care of mother and not call me all the time. I don't have time to take her to the doctor as much as she needs it. Mm-hmm. I don't have time to manage her meds. I don't have time to do a lot of things. And You guys do everything. You do everything.
Thank
you. And you call me. Mm-hmm. And I know everything that's going on. That wasn't happening before.
Let me ask a question to build on that. What do you think about the facility layout?
It's awesome.
You like the facility layout because you have something to compare it to now.
Yeah, I do. The other facility was laid out in a similar fashion, mm-hmm. although they didn't use it as well as you did, and it was bigger and it was more institutional feeling. Mm-hmm. This is home-like. Mm-hmm. My mom's birthday was several weeks ago, and we brought her a cake and presents, and we all went into the living room mm-hmm. and sat there. And it was so funny because I think it was Tammy. I don't know who it was, but her very first day when she walked in, and the movers were still moving her stuff. Tammy took her over and introduced her to a group of three ladies. And this is our social table, Peggy, and you'll fit in really mm-hmm. well here. Those women are still my mother's. That's her support group. Mm-hmm. If I can't find her, I know she's sitting at that table. And so we invited all the women in, and mm-hmm. they were so excited to see her. It's home. It looks like home.
If Peggy had been more active, let's say she, maybe she's not quite independent living, but maybe she's not full-blown dementia, would you have preferred, because our setup is built so that all of the rooms are built around all the action in the middle.
Right.
The kitchen, the dining, everything's there so they can just pop right out and be in the middle of everything. And most of our competitors are not set up in that fashion. And I guess my question would be, is that preferable only when they're declined very far, or is that always preferable?
Oh, no, it's always preferable. Uh-huh. It's always preferable because, let's face it, think about the situation your loved one has found themselves mm-hmm. in. And they've downsized to the max, mm-hmm. you know, and I've started downsizing already. Mm-hmm. And so I'm relating to what my mother's doing. But this is her home. This is where she is going to be gotcha. At the end. And I do not want her to feel like she's in the hospital.
Or tucked away in a room in the corner someplace.
No, yeah. No, okay. Absolutely not. And my mother may not understand that she's in such a wonderful place. But I do. And a good example of that is that the place I moved her from wasn't a huge place, but I did not know any of the staff's names. Mm. I know every one name of the staff who live in her building, and they know me.
Right. Wonderful. Okay. All right. When you decided to make the move over to integrated care, now we're kind of getting into the integrated care specific questions. Was there anything that was key in terms of your decision? Or were you just like, I'm so fed up with the other place, I don't care where I'm going, I just need to get out of there?
No, I definitely cared.
Okay, so what are the key points in your decision?
Because the first place was my trial.
Uh-huh.
Now, I learned. That was my college education.
Okay.
So this was the first place I went, but I was determined to find the right place. I didn't want to have to do this again.
Sure.
This would have made three moves in 12 months.
Let me interject on that question real quick. I heard one of our other clients in our last podcast say that she also had been through two or three facilities before she found us. And she said that she felt bait and switched. A few times.
Oh,
did you have that experience in any way?
That's a good explanation.
Uh-huh.
It turns out that because the facility was so new, they hadn't ramped up all the services they were advertising.
Uh-huh.
And they in the 6 months she was there, they went through three activity directors. And here I thought my mom was getting all these activities and everything, mm-hmm. and all she was doing was sitting all day. Sitting, and the staff was on the phone. They had this beautiful facility. They didn't even have pull cords in the bathroom.
Mm.
And it was a brand new facility. The nurse was not responsive at all. I kept telling her that my mom had bites all over her and nobody would listen to me. That was one of the reasons that it was so urgent for me to get her out there. I knew something was going on and they weren't taking care of it.
Okay.
So, yes, I did. I felt very, what's the word I'm looking for? I felt very
misled.
Thank you. Okay. Very, very.
All right.
And believe I was paying the same thing over there that I'm paying here, and I'm paying the same thing.
Okay. So you decide to come over and investigate integrated care. What, you know, specific things? What did you see that you said, "Hey, this is a little different than what my college education has just taught me." Tell me specifically, what were the features, the benefits, the experiences, the feelings that you had?
The day I came over and took a tour, I did it on a Friday because I don't work on Friday, and it was towards the middle of the day, June, and I walked into reception, and they called Debbie, and Debbie, the marketing and communications person, came to give me a tour, and all the residents were out under the cabana, and the staff had made them a barbecue.
Woo!
Oh man, they had corn and mashed potatoes and chicken and hot dogs, and they were all sitting out there under the cabana, and the staff was it was just wonderful, and I thought, this is what I want my mom to have.
So you instantly had a good feeling about it.
Instantly.
That's important.
Instantly, I knew that whatever she told me, that you were actually doing it. Mm-hmm. And that had been completely different.
I see. Okay, well, that's a great answer. Thank you for that. If I were to ask you, I know this situation is so hard. I mean, it's just so hard that there's no way to even, you know, come up with a wish list. But if you had to come up with the ideal situation for Peggy to be in, for your mom Peggy to be in, what would that look like to you?
It would look like a place where she could have her own space, because it was important to me that she didn't share a room.
So Peggy's private with us right now.
Yes.
Okay.
Because she's 91. She's raised a family. Mm-hmm. She's had a home. She's taking care of a home and a husband. And I just felt like all of us need a space where we can go that's ours, and that nobody else can come into, and you feel like is yours. And that was the only space she had left. So I wanted her to be able to have her own space where it was big enough so that I could organize it for her, so she didn't have to give up everything about her life. She has a patio. Mm-hmm. I bought her some patio furniture. So that was a huge draw for me, that even though she's locked in the building and she's locked on the premises, she has a patio and she can walk out. That struck me immediately. Mm-hmm. And she goes out and takes a cup of coffee in the morning and sits there, and It's awesome. Mm. And I wanted it to be a place where she didn't just sit. She couldn't just sit anymore. Mm. And the other place, I had left $200 as an activity pool, and I expected to have to replenish it, and I never did. When I left, they gave me back the original $200. Mm-hmm. I have to put $100 or $150 in my mom's account every month. She's doing so much all the time.
Right.
And then when I get the bill, it shows on the bill exactly what she's done. Mm-hmm. She don't remember any of it when I ask her about it. Mm-hmm. One of the ladies at the table say, "Now, I remember something about that. You played the slot machine," because they got take them to the casino. Right. So I wanted activities, because I thought I was getting it over there, and I wasn't. And then I wanted her care to be taken care of there. Her medical care is ramped up. She has to have something weekly. I feel guilty saying this. That's why I'm stuttering. I don't have time to take care of her.
Right.
And you know what? I want to enjoy my life until I get to where she is, because I'll be there. And it'll be my daughter's turn. And I hope when I get to that place that I'll be as gracious as all the people I see over there, and realize that, you know, my family has a life and not demand all their attention. So it was important to me that Mom be somewhere where she was taken care of and I felt like she was taken care of. So when she calls me, I know she's just flapping, you know, because I know she's taken care of.
So this is what you were taught when you mentioned earlier that you had this tremendous guilt, but you also had this tremendous sense of relief. And they're kind of in contrast with each other, but you've got to have that in order to be sane, I think.
Anybody in my situation, and there's going to be a lot of people here, the only thing that really helps with your sense of insecurity about what you've done is knowing they're taken care of. The best that you could have possibly done. And that when staff calls you, they're on top of things and you don't have to worry about it. First few times that staff called me when my mom needed medical attention, mm-hmm. It sounded as if they were calling to come get her, like I had to do. Come get her and take her to the emergency room. Come get her. She has to go to the doctor. I have to drop everything. And so I was waiting for somebody from ICC to say, come get her. And I said, I can't come get her. I'm at work. How am I gonna? Don't worry about it, Donna. I'm just calling to tell you. She's already there. We've taken her. Mm-hmm. We're taking care of it. Don't worry about it. And that's the only thing that kind of helps smooth the process. I think the staff, you know, if the staff had been better at the other place, I could have overlooked a lot. Mm-hmm. I really could have overlooked a lot. But
it's my assumption, I might be wrong about this, but it's my assumption that it's so hard to move once you're already there that you're willing to put up with a lot until you go, hey, this is too much.
Yeah, and you got to remember, I just moved my mother from her family home into a condominium. And then I moved her from the condominium in Arizona over to this place here. So I'd already moved her twice. I didn't want to move her again.
Right, you wanted to make sure it stuck this time.
Yeah, I wanted to make sure it stuck this time. And so I guess I had to have a really bad experience in order to know what it was I needed. Now, isn't that bad?
Well, let me ask that question. It's understandable because it's such a steep learning curve.
Yeah.
From going from nothing to having to learn everything about this industry in some kind of compressed amount of time.
You don't need it until you need it.
Yeah, exactly. So you don't worry about it until it's already too late.
Uh-huh.
You didn't look at integrated care before. You just looked at the one place and you go, she's coming in. Okay, just wanted to confirm that.
And I do not know why. I don't know why I didn't.
I don't know. That's a good question. That's one of the ones I'd love to uncover.
Yeah, well, I think a lot of it had to do with location.
Sure.
Because it was right next to a shopping center, and it had a bank that was her bank. Mm-hmm. And I still get her a lot of toiletries and stuff. And so it was the location.
Okay.
It really was. Okay. And That was pretty much.
That was pretty much.
And
it.
I thought they're new. They got to know what they're doing. Right. So that's where we're going.
Boom.
But I kept an eye on them. I kept an eye on them.
Uh-huh.
Glad I did. Okay. And I have to say this, Philip.
Sure.
The day after my mother came over here, mm-hmm. staff here looked at her condition and knew she had to go to the doctor. I had made an appointment. But staff here took her to her appointment. This is her second day.
Right.
And that's when she was diagnosed with scabies. Mm-hmm. And it was, in the end, my mom had to be isolated for 3 weeks. She spent mm-hmm. 3 weeks in isolation here because mm-hmm. she couldn't be put with the general population.
Mm-hmm.
And because staff tried diligently to find a medical facility. Mm-hmm. And none of them had beds or would take mother. The mm-hmm. emergency room wouldn't take her. We tried for 3 days. And finally they said, okay, I agreed to pay for a 24/7 care.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, okay, bring her. We'll just keep her in her room. We can't put you on the street.
I remember this case.
Do you?
I do. I was involved in this because I have to... I have to ultimately make a final decision about what.
Thank
what
you very we do. Much, Philip. I would have done anything. So,
yes, I. You know what? We try to be sensitive to the budgets of our clients. You know, and in this case, we felt like the only way to make sure that we don't have any cross contamination is to isolate and to bring in a sitter to make sure that we've got the creams going on and everything staying contained and that we're keeping things clean. Absolutely. And we did it.
You did it fantastically.
Thank you.
And this is why I related that story. As difficult as my mother has been, I expected mm-hmm. that time to be extremely difficult for her. Mm-hmm. But I'll tell you what, it was extremely difficult for her to give up that sitter.
Yeah,
because
sure.
that sitter became a part of her family. Uh-huh. And the staff would you know, put their stuff uh-huh. on, they stick their head in the door, and mm-hmm. everybody, it was like she lived in a hotel.
Right.
In fact, she thought she did. And she didn't want to go back out.
Right.
So,
what a great story.
Oh my gosh. It was like, that was so lucky. Yeah. It just, everything fell into place.
I know, that was a tough one. That was a tough call. But I think we ultimately made the right decision.
You did.
I have two last questions for you. Based upon, you were one of the people that I've talked to that did work on the budget up front, rather than, oh, I got to do it and, you know, I'll deal with the budget later. Hmm. You've come in, you've been with us for 6 months. How do you feel in terms of the amount you pay? Nothing specific. I don't need to know specific numbers, but just in terms of the value you feel you're receiving on a monthly basis for the money you pay each month. Do you feel like it's fair? Too much? Too little? I mean,
it's great. Okay. Like, I had done my homework, mm-hmm. and I knew what to expect. Mm-hmm. And so I knew that whatever we got in the way of memory care was going to be between $4,000 and $5,000, and maybe over $5,000, depending. Mm-hmm. So I knew, and so that's what we have been paying.
Okay.
But, you know, about $4,500.
You feel yes. it's a good value for
oh,
you.
Oh, absolutely. Okay. See, I'm one of the... you won't find another person like me who has 6 months to compare of what I thought was going to mm-hmm. be the Ritz, and 6 months where I wasn't sure what I was going to get, and I got the Ritz and wasn't counting on the Ritz. Mm. I don't know if I made any sense.
Yes, you did, actually, okay. Believe it or not.
Okay, good.
Happy surprise, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Any final thoughts, Donna, about this journey you've taken from the start of this whole, you know, going back to this whole saga that you'd like to share with our listeners?
I think my sister and I, when my mom started showing signs, we were in denial. Mm-hmm. And she's just a little, you know, forgetful. She's old. We didn't want to have to make this decision. Mm-hmm. And we were hoping we wouldn't. And so we waited until there was no other decision to make. And that's where you get into trouble.
Right. So if you could go back and do it again, you would have made the call sooner when you still had
time.
Okay.
I would have. And here's the deal. The reason I didn't make the call sooner was my mother was so resistant.
Sure.
There was going to be a certain amount of, I don't want to say force, but... and that's how it turned out in the end, even when we moved her out of her house. And that was the reason I didn't want to do another move, because they're emotionally draining. Because every time I moved her, it came down to, you're moving.
Right.
Get in the car. Mm-hmm. And I'm not getting out of the car, Donna. I'm not getting out of the car. You can't make me. It was that kind of stuff. You can't get consensus with a person who has dementia mm-hmm. or Alzheimer's. Mm-hmm. We would get consensus and she would go to bed and wake up the next morning and we'd start all over again. So there came a time when I had to tell her, this is what we're going to do. And that was difficult. So my advice would be, do your homework, start doing it. I was very thankful I had been doing my mom's finances for a year mm-hmm. Because it gave me insight. I knew what bill she had. Mm-hmm. So we all have to face it. You just got to put your big girl hat on and do it.
Right, right. So I guess to summarize that comment, it would be to try and get ahead of it a little bit rather than wait till the last minute and then scramble and maybe not pick the right place or pick the right level of care or whatever the case may be.
Absolutely. I like integrated care. Integrated care is a nonprofit and versus a for-profit company. It makes a lot of difference because I really haven't met Dr. Rowe. I've heard a lot about him for 14 years because that's how old my granddaughter is.
Sure.
And it feels like he's compassionate. He's a professional. I understand he's had his own family members here. I figured if he's put his own family members here, you know, and I want the room next to his mom.
Right, that's a strong testimony.
Yes, I do. Very strong. And so I just think that the people here are what make it so different. Because, yeah, you could be a wonderful facility, and it could be just like the other one. You know, everybody just sits around in the little room and watches TV, and they don't do anything. You know, it's not the building that they're in. It's the people in the building. Mm-hmm. And you can be as involved as you want to be here with your loved one or as distant as you want to be and still know they're taken care of.
Outstanding. Well, Donna, thank you so much for coming in to meet with me and to kind of give our listeners, maybe prospective long-term healthcare clients, an idea of what this journey has been like for you and where it's led and, you know, what the pluses and minuses of the whole thing. That's what they need to hear. Really appreciate it. Thank you so much.
You're so welcome.